Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. We will please join me in reading today's word. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving.
Good morning. Before we go into today's message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we thank you that through the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we have confidence to access your throne of grace. We have fellowship with you. And we acknowledge that there is no other way into your presence but through your Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, seeing that this is the case, and that we have fellowship with the holy and living God, we pray that we will also remember that this time of worship is a time sanctified unto you, and that we would worship properly before our Heavenly Father with reverence and awe. For we know what your word teaches, that you are a consuming fire. And so now, Lord, we pray that as we consider your word, that we would not regard scripture as the teachings of man, but we would receive it for what it is, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would therefore obey his word, your word, for your glory and our upbuilding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the second chapter of his epistle, from the second half of verse 6 to verse 7. If you recall from our previous message, we were reminded in the first part of verse 6 that the gospel's call to faith is the call to receive Christ Jesus the Lord. The gospel proclaims Jesus as no less than the Lord himself, God in the flesh. As the Lord, as the creator of all things, Christ has the right to command his creatures. So by receiving Christ the Lord, we're embracing his supreme authority over our lives. No one who denies Christ's right to tell them what to do has truly received him. Because integral to Christ's lordship is his authority over all that he has made. So we learn to receive Christ Jesus the Lord is to embrace his authority as our creator. To receive Christ Jesus also includes embracing his presence as Lord over his people. It is to embrace his promise to be with all who trust in him. It is to embrace the good news that he has not left his people to their sins, alienated from God, under his wrath, and enslaved to the devil. No, rather, Christ has come to deliver us from our sins so that we may receive forgiveness, his protection and spiritual care, and his promise to bring us safely into his heavenly kingdom. If we have turned to Christ Jesus in faith, we have received Christ Jesus for who he truly is. And who he truly is summed up in a word: the Lord. If we have believed the gospel by receiving Christ Jesus, the Lord, verse 6 goes on to give us a command from our Lord that pertains to our way of life. This is what we read in verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, and here's the command, so walk in Him. What does it mean to walk in Him? What does it mean to walk in Christ? Well, our walk simply refers to the way we conduct our lives. To walk in Christ means to live out our daily lives in Him. And what this means is more precisely spelled out for us in verse 7 of today's text. So let's read on. From verse 6 to verse 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. If we were to look at the original Greek, we would see that grammatically the word rooted in verse 7 is a perfect participle. And so the NASB translation of verse 7 reflects the perfect participle tense of rooted more explicitly. So this is how the NASB translates verse 7 of our text. Having been firmly rooted. So there's the perfect participle. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. If we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what that means is that we have been firmly rooted in Christ. As a tree is rooted in the earth, deriving nutrients and water from the soil for its growth, so believers are rooted in Christ, deriving from His indwelling presence power for our spiritual growth. If you remember, we were told in chapter 1 of this epistle that Christ lives in all genuine believers. In verse 27, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is in us, then we are rooted in Him, receiving from Him power to grow spiritually. So to walk in Christ is to live out a life of spiritual growth. And the process of that growth is reflected in what follows in verse 7 as we read on. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. There's a process of growth. Built up in Him. So think of a building under construction. With each passing day, it's in the process of being built up. Starting with the foundation and then floor by floor by floor. Until one day, it reaches completion. All believers have been rooted in Christ so that they're able to be built up, growing in conformity to Christ's holy image. So once again, a tree is rooted in the earth so that as it receives nourishment from the earth, it grows. All believers, according to our text, are rooted in Christ. So that as we receive power from His Spirit living in us, we grow. Or referring back to that metaphor of a building under construction, we are built up throughout our lifetime, becoming more and more like our Lord. As James Montgomery Boyce once wrote, real Christianity leads a believer to Jesus Christ. And that means that the Holy Spirit comes to live within the Christian, giving the person a new nature, creating love for God and a desire to obey Him, and providing the ability to do what God requires. In other words, the gospel leads to an internal transformation. That's growth, internal transformation. And this process of growing is something that involves our personal effort. We're told in our text that this growth is part and parcel of our walk in Christ. Walk. Action. This growth is part and parcel of our walk in Christ, the way we live out our life in Him. It is because we're rooted in Christ, as He lives in us, we can expect that our efforts to grow will not be futile, but fruitful. And therefore, elsewhere in Scripture, we are commanded to purify ourselves as Christ is pure. 1 John 3:3. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Purify ourselves as He is pure. Something we're doing to ourselves. So the process of becoming more like Christ involves Spirit-empowered effort. Effective growth does not come through passivity, but through effort, action. J.I. Packer is correct when he writes, the Christian's motto should not be let go and let God. You heard that one before. I know growing up, I heard that all the time. Let go and let God. The Christian's motto should not be let go and let God, but trust God and get going. As we've emphasized throughout this message series in Colossians, Christ has given to believers not only His Spirit as the source for our growth, but also various blessings as the means or method for our growth. And Scripture tells us what these means are. Let's review them once again. Acts 20:32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Sounds like verse 7, right? Which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What is able to build us up in Christ? What is the means for our growth? Well, Acts 20:32 tells us that it is the word of His grace. In other words, the word of God. When we listen to faithful preaching and teaching of God's word, we are relying on it as a means to build us up in Christ. When we study and meditate on God's word, we're relying on it as a means to build us up in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. There's that word again, build up. And build one another up, just as you are doing. So God's word is able to build us up. And we are also meant to build one another up. So as we pointed out in the past, fellowship is a means for building us up in Christ. So encourage one another. Sing to the Lord with one another. Steward God's gifts by serving one another. Study God's word with one another. All for the purpose of what? For the purpose of helping each other to grow spiritually and to become more like our Lord. And finally, as we've pointed out in the past, prayer is a means for building us up in Christ. We've emphasized repeatedly that Christ taught us to rely on the Lord's Prayer as a template for our prayers. Honoring God's name in our hearts and our deeds. Prioritizing understanding and doing the will of Christ the King. Overcoming our attitudes and acts of sin. Protection from temptation are all areas we are taught to pray for in the Lord's Prayer. Central to the method of prayer taught to us by our Lord is leading a life of obedience and growth in holiness. So prayer is a means for building us up in Christ. So walking in Christ, as our text makes clear, involves growing in Christ-like holiness as a result of being rooted in Him. Popular televangelists teach that people can harness God's power for building up wealth and worldly success. It's not what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches us that if we have received Christ as Lord, we can be built up in Christ-like holiness. The gospel teaches that if we have received Christ as Lord, we are rooted in Christ. His Spirit has opened our hearts towards God. He has implanted in us the desire to please God. He illuminates our minds to understand and accept God's word. And He assures us that we are truly God's children. So in other words, the presence of Christ in us provides us with all that we need to grow in Christ-like holiness. So if we have been rooted in Christ, get going and strive after growth. Make good use of His word, His people, and prayer in order to grow. As believers, we can do something which no one else can do in the world. And what is that? Grow. We can grow because we are rooted in Him like a tree rooted in fertile ground. No one but believers are rooted in Christ. So walking in Christ means to be rooted and built up in Him. Walking in Christ also includes what we read next in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, and, here's what comes next, established in the faith just as you were taught. So here the Apostle Paul is essentially reiterating what he wrote earlier in chapter 1 of Colossians. If we look back to verse 21 to 23. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So verse 23 is essentially saying the same thing as what we're reading here in verse 7. Establish in the faith, just as you were taught. In chapter 1, we learned that the gospel was taught to the Colossian church by this individual named Epaphras, who's described as a faithful minister of Christ. So Paul reminds the Colossian church in our text, as he did in verse 23 of chapter 1, to remain true to the apostolic gospel as they learned it through the faithful ministry of Epaphras. The basic proclamation of the apostolic gospel is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. As we know, we're not saved by believing just anything about Jesus or believing just any teaching about Jesus, but by trusting the Christ who is, according to the eyewitness testimony and commission proclamation of his apostles, which has been providentially handed down to us in our Bibles. Only those who are established in the faith of the apostles, who do not shift from the hope of the gospel that is proclaimed to us in God's word, will one day be presented to God in perfected glory, holy and blameless and above reproach, as we read in verse 22 of Colossians 1. Only they will enjoy everlasting life. So what we mean by salvation, by grace through faith. Thankfully, just as our rootedness in Christ gives us power to grow, our rootedness in Christ keeps us in the faith. In our message series in 1 John, we learned that as Christ lives in us, His Spirit illuminates Scripture to us so that we understand the gospel savingly, in a manner that is fundamentally correct. We may go wrong in non-vital doctrines, but in regards to the things that are vital, the things we must believe in order to be saved, the illumination of the Holy Spirit ensures we will not go wrong. Ultimately, it is Christ's presence in believers which keeps them from being deceived into abandoning the saving truths of the gospel. And so this is what we read in 1 John 2, 26 to 27, back when we did our series in 1 John. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. The anointing of the Spirit safeguards genuine believers from Christ-denying deception. False teachers cannot succeed in deceiving genuine believers into forsaking the vital apostolic truths that we must believe in order to be saved. If they do succeed in deceiving a professing believer into abandoning the gospel, all they have done is expose the fact that this person's profession was false all along. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Vital doctrines such as Christ's deity and lordship, his eternity, his incarnation, his atonement and justification by faith, his bodily resurrection, his ascension, his bodily return, in regard to these fundamental saving truths, the illumination of the Holy Spirit keeps genuine believers from being deceived into forsaking them. Or as Martin Lloyd-Jones once stated, those who are truly God's people cannot go wrong in their doctrine on particular aspects. About the person of Christ and about the way of salvation, on these two vital fundamental things, they cannot go astray. The unction keeps them. They may listen to false teaching about certain other matters which are not vital and central, but about these things which determine whether people are Christians or not, the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit will keep them and hold them and sustain them. And while others go out and leave and fall away, these will remain because they see it. And having seen it, they cannot possibly believe anything else. Christ promises preservation to those who trust in him. And he accomplishes this through the illumination of his Spirit in us. John 10:28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So walking in Christ involves growing in Christ-like sanctification and remaining true to the apostolic faith, both of which we can do because we are rooted in Christ Jesus. The final aspect of walking in Christ, as we read in our text, involves what? Involves abounding in thanksgiving. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. If we are being built up in Christ, if we are growing in the likeness of our Lord, it is then that we are experiencing firsthand the power of Christ Jesus in us. Because we have been rooted in Christ at salvation, our efforts to grow, though sometimes slow, even painstakingly so, eventually proves fruitful. And if through many trials we find that we are established in the faith, standing firm against false gospels, the pressures of the world that have succeeded in leading so many astray, we see further evidence that Christ is in us and that we have indeed been rooted in him. As a result, our assurance that we really have been sealed by the Spirit of Christ increases exponentially. And we gain great confidence that our faith in Christ is true, our conversion is genuine, and that we are authentic children of God. As we experience the powerful working of the Spirit of Christ in our lives, we gain stronger and stronger assurance that the hope of the gospel is ours. And so our thanksgiving grows stronger and stronger until we are abounding in thanksgiving. We want to abound in thanksgiving towards God, towards Christ. Well, our text teaches us, believers, those of us who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Christ Jesus, striving to grow in godliness and purity and goodness, love for God, love for God's people, and all that pertains to his likeness making zealous use of the means He has given us for our growth. Walk in Christ Jesus, holding fast to the hope of the gospel, holding fast to the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Our faithfulness empowered by the fact that we have been rooted in Him. And as we grow and remain true to the faith, we will no longer be troubled by doubts concerning the authenticity of our conversion. Our assurance will become rock solid and certain, and we will overflow with thanksgiving to Christ who lives in us. Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preached from this pulpit is in keeping with your holy word and is the product of the illumination of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ Jesus in us, we pray that for those of us who have received Christ Jesus the Lord and who are rooted in Christ Jesus, that we would listen and be encouraged and strengthened to walk in Him. Thankfully, O Lord, your text has shown us what it means to walk in Him. And it's not so complicated. It's not impossible for us to do as those of us who are rooted in Christ. We can do it. And it really consists, as your word has taught us, of three things for which we are thankful. Having been rooted in Christ, Lord, help us to be built up in Him, growing in His likeness, making good use of the means of grace, and establishing the faith, holding fast to the hope of the gospel, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that we heard in your word. And finally, abounding in thanksgiving. All who are rooted in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for Him, Lord, we're able to do this and thereby walk in Him. So we pray, Lord God, that we would be encouraged, that you have made this clear to us so that we don't have to feel intimidated by your command to walk in Christ, to walk the walk of the Christian life. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us the power to do so and the instruction of how to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.